ADHD is one of the most misunderstood and controversial conditions. Does it really exist? Is it a disorder or illness? Is medication really the best treatment approach? Or was ADHD just created by the pharmaceutical companies to increase revenue and profits? These are just a few of the topics we'll discuss on ADHD Crossfire, where research and science face off against real-life experience. And now, we bring you ADHD Crossfire.
Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Rory Stern of ADHDFamilyOnline.com, and I'm here with John Bennett, author of the international best-selling book, Three Steps to Conquering ADD, ADHD, How to Eliminate Your ADD, ADHD with Scientifically Proven Natural Methods. John is my guest today on the ADHD Crossfire podcast interview series, and we're going to cover probably one of the most controversial topics in the ADHD community, in the ADHD world at large, about medication. Is it something you should be using? Is it something that is as effective as the medical community says? Some people do believe that, and yet there are people who are so anti-medication, like my guest, that really, you know, people butt heads. And what sort of fueled our conversation for today was an article that seems to come across, or so I found out, that comes across John's desks three times a week, and here's a headline. Teen tripping on ADHD drugs can be a real downer. And the topic really is, John, medication. Is it as bad as people say, and where do the problems around substance abuse come into effect with are people abusing ADHD drugs? And I guess the bigger concern of does being on an ADHD medication open up or serve as a gateway drug to other medications? And that's what we're going to cover today. So, John, thanks for being here with me.
Well, I'm really excited to be here, and I'm excited to be doing this. It's the first, you know, recorded thing that I've done ever, and I've got a lot of respect for what you're doing and really excited to dive into this subject.
Yeah, it's a big one, John. So, listen, you know, we've said, and you know, I've gotten to know you pretty well now over the last couple months, you are vocally, out in the open, anti-medication, and I know you've got some things to say about that. So give us a little bit of a background here on medication, why you stand against it as strongly as you do.
Well, a little background. You know, I grew up in an ADD, ADHD home. And like most parents, my brother had a very severe ADD, ADHD. It was ADHD, actually, and he struggled in school, and they went down the normal path that most people do. They ended up at the doctor eventually, and the doctor, you know, prescribed Ritalin at that time, which was the drug of choice back in the day, the old school ADHD drug. And, you know, my parents just assumed that was the right thing to do. I mean, why wouldn't you trust your doctor? Why would you question it, you know? And I think, you know, the message that I'm trying to get out there is that this is way more serious than you may realize. And I think that's kind of what I want to dig into is the fact that, one, most people assume that it's the right thing to do in terms of talking to their doctor, and why would you really question whether or not you should take the drugs?
And yeah, that's an incredibly valid point because, you know, certainly coming up through my training to become, to earn my doctorate in clinical psychology, I'll never refer to myself as a psychologist because I stopped that level of practice. I did not pursue that degree because of my own opinions and experience doing some therapy and working towards that level, John. But it's really true. So many people do get caught up in the authority of being a doctor or being a professional that we do automatically trust them. And I will say, being, you know, somewhat having one foot still in the medical community, you know, there are a lot of good people out there, and it's unfortunate when you do have people who aren't so good that give everybody else a bad name.
No, and so, I'm not suggesting that all doctors are wrong because they prescribe these drugs. I'm not suggesting that at all. I think that this is our society has created this as the solution. Yet there are natural ways that you can treat this, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But back to my brother. I mean, when he the day I remember the day. He started on the Ritalin. he went from a real fun-loving, you know, he was crazy, I mean, and annoying, I will admit. But right when he went on that stuff, man, he turned into a zombie, basically. You know, it was very weird. He couldn't sleep at night. He lost weight. He freaked out, basically. They switched him, put him on, they added other antidepressant medications on top of that. And it was just really crazy. And, you know, I began to start to wonder, I was like, man, you know, was this all that necessary? You know what I mean? And just trying to unravel this and say, you know, I wonder if he was just allergic to something, or if he could have just changed something in his diet, could the outcome have been a little different? He ended up, you know, still struggling in school, and he ended up on Adderall and some other things, and just kind of, you know, kind of messed him up, quite frankly, for, I'd say, about 10 years, you know. And if there's anything I could say, this is not like, these drugs are not like taking like an Advil or something. They're very, very powerful. I think that's very underestimated. And, you know, we were talking earlier that this is, these drugs like Adderall and Ritalin are amphetamines, and they're class 2 drugs. Can you speak to what the class 2 drug means?
So this is not my specialty, John, but yes, I can tell you that it is a class 2 drug. It is a controlled substance. And you had made the comment that, you know, it's you know, other controlled substances or other class 2 controlled substances that fall into the stimulant category are, you know, cocaine. And this is a real concern that we really should be addressing, because there is a lot of controversy out in the community of, you know, is, you know, people have said Ritalin is just like cocaine. So from a medical perspective, I can tell you that it's not as dangerous as cocaine, according to the research. Now, this is what we're all about in this podcast, is who are we trusting here? Who's looking out for our well-being? Is it the medical community? Is it the pharmaceuticals? Do the people have legitimate concern about these drugs being, you know, quote-unquote dangerous? And, you know, I don't really know enough, John. I don't have a firm enough answer for you. My heart tells you that, you know, medication does work for some people, and it does happen to be, according to the research, the most proven effective treatment of ADHD. However, what doesn't come out in those research studies, and this is where I go off the handle, is that it's proven, but nobody else is studying anything else. Nobody is doing research on alternative treatments, on natural remedies, on you know, some working memory training. So again, I don't have a definitive answer for you about
right.
whether or not they are as dangerous as a cocaine. That is a gray area, unfortunately, but it's a really good point that people need to be aware of and consider.
Yeah, and it's real. I mean, you know, people have died from these drugs. That's a fact, and you don't hear about that. There is no place in our medical system for natural remedies, so to speak. I mean, you know, most doctors, by and large, are trained to be suspect of any, you know, kind of natural remedy solution. The main way our system works is doctors prescribe. You know, they're visited by the large drug companies with samples, and they're told that this is what, this will help. I mean, you know, it's kind of funny if you just watch TV, you know, the big drug companies can come up with anything to think that you've got a problem. It's like, do you breathe air? Do you sleep at night? Well, you have this disorder, and you need this drug.
I'm sorry, I really have to chuckle, because you're right. I mean, one of the ones that get me, I'll go off on a tangent here, is I like the one for antidepressant medications. Are you taking antidepressant medications and still feeling depressed? Well, we've got another medication that you should be taking on top of it. And I sit there and shake my head and go,
yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's all you got is here's more medication? If it's not working, just take more?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, David Smith, it's Michael Smith, I believe, is running the Ritalin Death site. It's called RitalinDeath.com. And this is a very serious story. I don't want to make light of it because I came across this early on, and it kind of raised a red flag to me. And I'm looking at the website right now. It says between 1990 and 2000, there were 186 deaths from ADD drugs reported to the FDA MedWatch program, which is a voluntary reporting scheme, the numbers of which represent no more than 10 to 20% of the actual incidents. That's just the deaths, Rory.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we don't know how many kids have ended up in hospitals because of heart conditions and heart problems. And it's just really, you know, it's that serious. And that, you know, I don't believe in scare tactics or anything like that, but this is Matthew Smith. I'm sorry, I just drew a blank. My mind is going in 10 different directions here. Matthew and his father has carried this on. And I do recommend you check this out if you're looking into some things. It's called RitalinDeath.com, and there's just a ton of really good information there in regards to this subject. And he's got a foundation formed, the National Alliance Against Mandated Mental Health Screening and Psychiatric Drugging of Children. So I highly recommend you guys check that out. But, you know, it's major, and,
yep.
You know, the class 2 drug is real. The only more serious class is class 1, which is reserved for drugs like heroin. So, you know, the fact that you can walk into your doctor's office and take a paper test, which will then diagnose you as ADD, ADHD, and then get your hands on this type of drug so easily is kind of frightening.
It is, and I'm gonna jump on this one, John. I mean, there's so many points that we're skipping over and that we've got to come back to, but this one really is huge because, you know what? You're 100% right. It should never be a paper and pencil test that the teachers fill out, that mom and dad fill out, and then you get your little prescription and walk out the door. 100% have to support you. It should not be that way, and unfortunately, it can happen that way. If you're listening in the United States, then you've got maybe a 15, 20-minute appointment with an MD, and yeah, like you said earlier, they're taught to prescribe. Now, I also do have to balance this out and say, you know, that's not really the right way to diagnose. People shouldn't be diagnosing that way. There are more sophisticated methods, but we do still know that ADHD is a very, very difficult condition to diagnose because of all the other conditions that mimic symptoms of ADHD, that make symptoms of ADHD appear to be worse. You know, we automatically think hyperactivity, impulsivity, inattention, they must have ADHD.
Right.
That's totally false, and nobody is talking about that. The
right.
Media jumps all over these symptoms and these kids that are out of control, and then you get people talking about, oh, well, back in my day, we just had more discipline. It
right.
just gets too much, and
yeah.
I'll stop right there just to say it gets to be too much. We've got to dial this down into what's really going on, and this brings me back to another point, John, that I have to address is that, you know, what really makes us so hot button about medications, is it right, should you be doing it, medications and substance abuse, which we still have to get to that article and talk about, is the fact that most people are finding out about these medications to treat children.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that right there just hits hard because you mentioned it again earlier. You know, people are looking for a quick fix.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what medication tends to be. And I have always said, you know, as supportive of people's choice to take medication, I mean, I'll say here, I don't believe it should be the first choice. I believe you should find the supports and have the supports and resources to find alternatives. And by alternatives, I mean anything that's non-medication. You know, it just kills me that, you know, medication is almost like sweeping dirt under the rug. You've made the thing look pretty. You've hidden the problem. But deep down inside, whether it's a child, whether it's an adult who has ADHD, everything is still going on inside that individual. And if you're not looking at that, you're doing a great disservice to that person.
Exactly. And from what I've been able to uncover, you know, there's a lot of research and studies showing that these medications are nothing but a Band-Aid to the real problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, better than saying dirt under the rug, they're a Band-Aid
yeah.
because you're not looking at the behavior. You know, parents always say to me, you know, how do I know whether it's my child's ADHD or how do I know whether it's them? And the bottom line is you may really never know what's going on.
Yeah, and it's going to take a little more work to find out what that is. There's probably more than this, but there's like 50 conditions that mimic ADD, ADHD, and it could be a simple allergy.
Yes.
You know, and that's a real common thing, and people don't get screened for that. And going back to the drug thing, Canada bans Adderall. You know, that should tell you something. The FDA recently wanted to put a black box warning, which is their most serious warning, on the current ADD drugs, and then removed it. So, I mean, you can fact check me on all this stuff, and I encourage people the information's there for you. Just check it out, read it. But you're right. People won't think that it's a quick fix. But I think, you know, my experience is most parents know something inside them. They're like, this isn't quite right, you know. And really that's kind of what has fueled me over the past few years, make sure that this information is out there so people can at least say, okay, I can at least try this other stuff before I dive into this serious medication.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to – I like the fact that you're saying if someone needs to take the medication, so it sounds like you're a little more open to it, but that you're really just more
– No, my biggest thing is, okay, this is serious life-altering medication. Before you go and do that, make sure you've gone through and, one, be real sure that it's ADD, ADHD, because a lot of times it's just some common things like allergies, like I already said, or something funky in the diet. You know, eliminate those things. You may not even need to take any supplementation, you know.
But absolutely.
Go through the proper steps. I mean, you know, it's kind of like cholesterol to some degree, you know. A lot of times you can lower your cholesterol with your lifestyle and your diet.
Yeah, you don't necessarily need medication.
Right.
I mean, it's a familiar theme here.
But you know, and the medical community has embraced that to some degree. You know, that okay, cholesterol, we can lower that without popping a pill.
Yeah.
So there, you know, there's some things in place, but there is nothing in place for ADD, ADHD right now where people say, well, try these supplements before you do this, or try changing your diet this way before we put you on this, you know?
Yeah. You know what's interesting, John, is I want to come back now full circle and really hit up this medication and drug abuse. I mean, obviously we can't have a discussion about medication without talking about the potential harm anyway. I don't want to incite more controversy by saying it's dangerous. But, I mean, there are increased risks, or there can be increased risks. But what kills me are when these studies get released or the media picks up articles on, you know, trying to link drug abuse to using ADHD medication. And for me, you know, I've got to pull apart probably three big things here. Number one, I've got to pull out the topic of kids and adolescents and teens and college-age kids. Number two is I've got to pull out ADHD medications. And number three, I've got to pull out substance abuse. All three of those things alone are major, major issues and major factors in how people behave, how people act, how people go about their lives, let alone now bringing them all together and trying to talk about them and draw conclusions like this study does, where they tell you, you know, between 1998 to 2005, we saw an increase in calls to Poison Control Center because of ADHD medications. Well, what does that mean, John? Is it the kids that are prescribed the medications? Are they giving it to their friends who are trying to get high and OD? Who's actually doing it, and what's getting the bad rap?
Well, to answer your question, I mean, these drugs are prolific. I mean, they're really, really common. So they're in a lot of medicine cabinets across the nation, and it's a common thing on campuses to trade and sell this stuff. That's, you know, given the fact that it is very powerful, I mean, it's a recipe for that type of headline.
And this is true, and I'll just something that's popping in my head, John, that has to be addressed here is that, you know, when we're talking about these medications, we're talking about substance abuse and ADHD being sold on college campuses, you don't see the media or the medical community talking about the increased demands from the colleges, from the workforce, from parents to constantly be getting A's or to be doing better to secure a job. Nobody's
right.
talking about that.
Right, because it goes back to that's, you know, that's way too hard to figure out.
Yeah, I mean we can't put a label on that yet. Although I'm sure someone's working on it.
Right, right. I mean, the fact is that in school you're expected to sit through, you know, lectures, and that's really hard for somebody with ADD, ADHD. I mean, they want to crawl up the wall. You know, that's real. You know, and sometimes these pills can fix that. You know, because it totally jacks you up, you know, and you can sit there, you can focus, you can study. I mean, it works, but there is a slew of bad side effects that come with it that you don't want any part of. Trust me. I mean, anybody that tells you that there's no side effects haven't really taken it. And again, if these were very, you know, basic things like aspirin or Tylenol or Advil or something, I mean, it wouldn't matter. But they're serious, man.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I think what really fires it up for me, John, when we talk about all these different things and how people aren't talking about the right issues, they're talking about the controversial issues to fill seats and to sell papers. And what gets it for me is, you know, when this article came out, I wrote a blog talking about this exact stuff, that people are overlooking the issues that really count, and everybody's getting caught up in hysterics about the controversy and the media, and they're really good at spinning this stuff. That's what these people do, like it or not.
Oh, true, but these stories are just reporting the reality of the fact that we have these drugs are flooded in our campuses.
Well, yeah, we have real issues that nobody wants to address, but
right.
people are really happy to point the finger and blame everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I'm getting riled up here and fueled up here because when I wrote this blog post, got a lot of great comments from readers all over the world, and one in particular stood out to me. This woman basically called me out and said that I have my head in the sand. She actually said it a little bit ruder and more graphic, but we'll keep it. My head was in the sand because us medical types never are willing to talk about substance abuse. And that really got me going, again, to talk to you about this, because my life has been affected by substance abuse.
Yeah.
So I take a real personal shining when someone says, oh, you're not willing to talk about substance abuse. Sure I am. But I'm going to talk about it in the right context and not blame ADHD medications.
No.
Substance abuse in general is off the handle.
Yeah, I will. I do believe that it can lead to other things. I saw that with. I've seen that a lot. My
so,
own personal experiences. Where,
so what you mean by being
like as a kid? A kid. Think about the psychology of a kid here, who has to go to the doctor for something called ADHD. That I don't know what I mean. What? So now I'm. Somehow I'm inferior and I have flaws that need to be fixed, right? I can't seem to fit in. I can't do what the other kids are doing. So I'm going to take this drug or this pill, you know. I've seen people go from there to say, well, let me try nicotine. Let me try these other things to see if I can make that work for me.
Now, when you say
is it the fault of the ADD drug that they're taking? Of course not. That's
yeah.
kind of dumb.
Yeah.
But it does kind of put you down that path. The article is talking about kids that are not ADHD getting it from their buddies and using it,
yeah.
which would be abuse.
Absolutely.
Some of them are using it just recreationally, just so that they can pass the test or whatever they think it's helping them do.
Yeah. See, and it's interesting. I'm going to quote the article right now because I'm looking through it as we're talking, and it says, the study lacks information on whether abusers were teens with ADHD, but anecdotal evidence suggests many are not. It's funny how they stuff that line at the very, very, very bottom of the article after they rely on a juicy headline of teen tripping on ADHD drugs can be a real downer.
Yeah, but the reality, and of course I haven't done a study on this, but I just know, just from talking to my brother and you know, I work with a bunch of kids, that it is passed around like candy. I mean, and I know for a fact that a lot of those kids that are buying it off of the kids, they don't have ADD or ADHD. They think they need it, but for whatever reason, you know.
Yeah.
That's happening. I mean, to what degree? I mean, I don't know. But
I won't argue with you there. I think this just really illustrates, John, where the confusion happens, where the hot button issues are, and why people are having a tough time talking about the same thing. Because you and I are very much on the same page, whether we can see that or not. I agree they get passed around. I think what happens here is, one thing I like is that, you know, because ADHD is so misunderstood and because it's so controversial, you have so many people who are not diagnosed. You have people who don't have it, who might look like it, that are overdiagnosed. So you've got that problem on top of it. And what really fascinates me, again, working in a, you know, I do some part-time work in a medical office with a psychiatrist who I really respect. And I say that very, very carefully, because there are very few psychiatrists who I respect because they don't push medication first. So that information aside, John, you know, I never realized when you sit down with someone who maybe drinks two pots of coffee a day and smokes a pack of cigarettes, those are stimulants.
Oh yeah.
So they might be self-medicating to feel better, not knowing they have ADD, so that's when they potentially could be leaping to marijuana, cocaine, heroin, the more dangerous drugs where you've got abuse. There are just so many different things, and I guess my big takeaway here, John, because this is going to have to be ongoing. This is a to-be-continued discussion.
Oh, yeah.
But my big takeaway, really, from what I'm hearing from you and from within me, is that people really need to get involved. They need to be active. They need to really dig down inside and take a look at what's going on, not just inside the individual who we think has ADHD, but what's going on around them? What's contributing to their behavior that might be making them a little bit more hyperactive or a little bit more inattentive? Because
right.
A lot of kids are being diagnosed with ADHD. A lot of adults are being told they have ADHD, when in reality, you know, look at the economy. Look at where our priorities are in this country and across the world. Things are falling apart. And I'm not to say that's to blame for ADHD, but it doesn't make things any easier.
Right, I agree.
So I'll get off my soapbox, John. I tend to get really involved and really passionate about this stuff. Like I said, this has to be continued. We're going to have to pick this up and keep going. Any other thoughts or points from your perspective on this before we sign off?
Well, you know, I think the big takeaway that I would like people to take from this is don't just automatically assume. And I think, by and large, most parents don't. They try to do their own research. But there's a lot of people that take their doctor for face value. And in this condition, don't do that. Do your own research. Make sure you really turn over every stone. Make sure it's ADD, ADHD, which to this day no one can really say they can diagnose correctly. So the diagnosis itself is very controversial. There's no blood test. There's a handful of doctors that say they can do a brain scan and tell you.
But they can't. I'm going to throw that in there. They can't.
They can't. And so from the word go, it already has problems.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it may, you know, people say it's not real. I know it's real. You know it's real. It is real, but how are you going to really know for sure that's what it is?
Yeah, I think there's something I want to contribute here, John, that will sum up what you're saying, that when I heard this, I was blown away. And again, this comes from the psychiatrist, Dr. Cerulli, who I collaborate with. And she said this in a live presentation. Hyperactivity, impulsivity, and inattention are the same exact symptoms or should be thought of the same way a fever is when you go to a doctor. you know something is wrong, but you have no idea what it is until you run more tests and dig deeper and find out more about the situation before you can tell, is it a cold, is it a virus, is it the flu, is it something bigger like
maybe. There's a ton of things it could be. And, you know, in my book, I've got like a whole chapter on this where it talks about the different things that you might want to make sure you cross off your list before you assume it's ADD, ADHD. And, you know, I will offer this to the people that are listening to this. I have put together 4 videos that I've been giving away free for quite a while of leading doctors on this issue and some special reports that you can download for free. And I just put them up on a new website, and the address is addadhdhelp.com. Just stick your email in there, and I'll send those to you. And it addresses a lot of the issues we're talking about today, but that is something that people can dig into. But really, just do your own research on it, and you will uncover this, find a lot of what we're talking about, and you're going to find very conflicting views. But with something this serious, common sense would tell you, okay, maybe I should step back and see, can I handle this in a natural way that's not going to damage my child psychologically or physically moving forward?
Yeah, there's a lot of issues here, John, and I appreciate you being here with us. On that note, we'll sign off, and I know we'll be back again to talk more about these issues.